Well, it's good to have. I'm going to introduce you tonight. I introduced him last night in a unique way. Tonight I'm going to be serious. And I appreciate Brother House. I actually heard Brother House preach for the first time in 24 years ago. He preached a conference for Don Gantz. About 24 years ago, maybe 25 now. And met him for the first time. And when we started Heritage, he was the first one to come to mind to come and preach to us about stewardship and money and our time and treasure, and has been doing it ever since. And I believe, humanly speaking, that Brother House has been using our church to see the finances the way they are, to bring them to that. I know God does it, but certainly has been used as a tool to help us and grow in our knowledge of the scriptures concerning giving. And I know some of you have even said last night that Brother House is your favorite speaker that we bring in, you know, and he's definitely one of mine. And I appreciate Brother House, and he just gets younger and younger every year. And I appreciate Brother House. Come on, preach to us.
Thank you, Pastor. I will make no comment on that last statement. I have some friends, some acquaintances, some Baptist acquaintances that I wish could have been here. I would like to point out to them, now that is praise and worship music.
Amen.
The other stuff is whatever. We don't use that language inside the building. But I enjoyed it. I enjoy being here. I get special abuse when I come here. And it makes me stronger. And so I appreciate it. I have 10 minutes left. I had an acquaintance tonight. We did some figuring. The preacher cuts me out. He cuts me off 45 minutes early every Wednesday for 15 years. So you folks actually owe me about a week. And I'm getting about ready to collect on that. You know, so just get ready. If you'll open your Bible, please, to Proverbs chapter 3. I don't want to waste your time tonight. I actually want to try. I want to leave with you just two thoughts that wrap up everything that we've said in 15 years. And someone said, well, I wish you'd have done it earlier then. But that's the way it goes. And you have to be very careful with the title, or someone will brand you as being something that you're not. But the only title you could put on it would be Giving Your Way to Prosperity. Giving Your Way to Bible Prosperity. Sounds very carnal to say it, but it totally pays to pay your tithe and give love offerings to the Lord. It totally pays. And I want us to look at several verses tonight and get our thought together on it as quickly as we can. In Proverbs chapter 3, there's an interesting couple of verses, very familiar to you, verse 9 and verse 10. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. Someone said, well, okay, so shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. It just pays to give to God. Amen. See, liberal giving to God means God will give liberally to you. There's no way around that. See, one of the great paradoxes of the Christian faith is that it is contrary to every law of the human philosophy. It's the strangest things when you begin to think about it, how it goes against this world's philosophy. There are so many of them, we couldn't begin to deal with them. But I think, one, you know, when you think about being saved, being redeemed, that comes to us when we throw away every claim we have to deserving to be saved. when we throw away every claim to goodness and righteousness and cast ourselves on the mercy of God. Now, the world thinks you be good. The Bible says you be redeemed by the blood of Christ. The Bible teaches that the way to rule is to be a servant. Well, that doesn't fit with the world at all. We all want to be number one, you know. The Bible teaches that the way up with God is down on our knees. It's just contrary. And so it is with giving. The world says, save your money now, be careful. And Jesus says, give, and it shall be given unto you. Just contrary as it can be to everything that the world teaches us.
Right.
Now, some folks say, well, you don't want to teach Christians to give for reward. They need to give because they love the Lord. Oh, I know, the Bible's taken care of all of that already. But God also settled in His Word that if you did, you would be rewarded. So why would we not preach what the Bible says about it?
Amen.
Okay. So thought number one, and remember there's only going to be two, so you want to get them. Thought number one, the Bible promises material rewards for liberal giving. The Bible promises it. The authoritative Word of God promises that if we give liberally, if we will, Proverbs 3:9 says, honor the Lord with our substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase, thy barns shall be filled with plenty. What a wonderful promise that is.
Yeah.
And by the way, that's the way you honor God. Folks always want to honor God. Well, that's the way you do it. Just get it done like that. And you do it with the first fruits so your barns can be filled. Now, you're in Proverbs. Turn on over, if you would, to Proverbs chapter 11. Proverbs chapter 11. And we'll look at that for just a minute. I came early tonight and sat down right back there. And there were a couple of people in here rehearsing a song. And I was just enjoying it, but one was a male and one was a female. Nice people, I thought. And she got to swinging at that guy. I got up and left. I got embarrassed about it. I went outside. I had some jelly I had to take to the truck. I want you to pray for them that they'll work things out before service is over. And I can't tell you who it was. That wouldn't be proper. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 24. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 24. You want something that's a strange paradox. Proverbs 11, 24. There is that scattereth and yet increaseth. There are those who share, scatter abroad that which comes into their possession, and they keep increasing. And the Bible says, and there is that withholdeth more than is meet, but it tendeth to poverty. Isn't that interesting? Look at verse 25. The liberal soul shall be made fat. Who? The liberal soul. And he that watereth shall be watered also himself. Now, you know, Satan says to the Christian, you're going to need your money. Jesus said to the Christian, sow it, and you'll reap more than you sow. And that's a good promise. There's another promise. You're getting close to it. Turn on over to Malachi chapter 3 now, the last book in the Old Testament. Malachi chapter 3. Very familiar. Just a wonderful promise. Malachi chapter 3, and we'll look for just a moment at verse 10. Malachi 3, 10. Bring you all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive. Now, before you start, let me go ahead and tell you, that primarily is a promise to Israel. Anybody knows that, that reads the Bible. And the Old Testament is given as an example for us. But let us say this, you see. If this were all the scriptures that you ever found, it might be hard to bring it into the life of a Christian. If there were nothing in the New Testament. But could I give you a really good promise? I don't know that you can find a better one than this, that I'll pour you out a blessing. There shall not be room enough to receive it. I don't know how big your house of need is tonight, but God said, I'll run it over. Amen. If you'll just bring the tithe and the offering. But let's get us a New Testament promise in Luke chapter 6, one of our favorites. Luke chapter 6, it's a dandy. And Jesus happens to be talking, and it's the strangest thing. Here we are in the midst of some divine paradoxes now. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the hungry. Blessed are they that mourn. Right down the line, and all of a sudden you come to this promise. Give, and it shall be given unto thee. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured unto you again. How about that? Blessed to be poor, blessed to be hungry, blessed to weep. And give, and it shall be given unto thee. Marvelous promise of God. Let's keep going. Time's running. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Get over here, and Jesus compares giving to something else. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Look at verse 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly. Now giving is going to be compared to sowing here in this verse. And the Bible says, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Well, as far as I'm concerned, me, if there were not another verse in the Bible that talked about giving, that'd settle it for me. You want a little, sow a little. You want a lot, sow a lot. You don't sow to get. That's just a natural law and a spiritual law. That's irrevocable. If you sow, you're going to get back just what you sow. Only it's going to be more. Sow the wind, reap the whirlwind. It's a wonderful, wonderful paradox. And then you go through, come down to verse 8, and we're going to find out right here that most of our want and most of our need is a result of our stinginess. Isn't that nice on the last evening to say something like that? Most of our unmet want and unmet need is a direct result of our stinginess. Look at verse 8, if you would. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Somebody says, you know, I can't afford to give to that building payment thing. And Jesus says, oh, I can fix it where you can abound to every good work. Well, I can't, you know, I know there are folks to reach, and I know we're going to need to build and continue to build, but I can't do that. Jesus said you could. Jesus said you can't do that because you're stingy. Huh? You say, I don't like that. Well, we didn't vote on that. It's just a fact. Just a fact. you know. We ought to give because God is able to make all grace abound toward us. See, you build your life on these promises, and understand something. You can never be in God's debt. God will never owe you. He keeps his promises. He will see to it. If you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. Second thought, and I'm done. God's sacred honor is at stake on this matter of the tithe and the offering. It goes further than building fund. It goes further than what we think. See, some think giving is a secondary thing in this Christian life. But it's not. This is the heart of the Christian life. This give thing. For God so loved the world that he gave. Jesus said, I didn't come into this world to be ministered to, but to minister and to give my life a ransom for many. And then we come along and get in on all the blessings and think we're not supposed to give. Or if we are, it's just a sort of a down the ladder thing and we can kind of give a little every once in a while. No, it involves God's honor. It involves the accuracy of the Bible. It involves whether Christianity works or doesn't work. God's honor is at stake. And I might as well say this, and if you don't agree, just don't even tell me, and I'll think we believe the same thing. But you can't be a good Christian without getting settled on this thing of the tithe and the Christian offering. You certainly can be a Christian. You certainly can go to heaven. You certainly can love God. But you certainly can't be a good Christian until you get settled on this thing of the tithe and the offering. And because God's sacred honor is at stake, God must make it pay for the Christian to do right. None of us said it. God said it. It's the most marvelous thing, you see. Now, I think every Bible student, we know about the heavenly rewards. But God makes it all right down here, too. I mean, you can enjoy the trip if you get this part of it right. And it's a wonderful thing. And somebody said, well, but will it pay? Well, you need to read Mark chapter 10 sometime. I don't have time tonight. You know how the preacher is about the time thing. But in Mark chapter 10, verse 29, verse 30, the question came up, and Jesus said, no man will ever leave houses or lands or mother or any of that for my sake and the gospel's, except he receive a hundredfold return now in this time. I guess you can probably go to school somewhere and they'll tell you why that doesn't mean what it says. But if you come out of the old school, if the Bible said it, that's what it means. And we need to understand that. I believe God is offended when he's not put first in the money matter. I believe God is offended when we put other things before him in the money matter. And we're just going to have to deal with that. And a faithful God must reward those who put him first. You say, why do you say that? Because of what he said. You remember? Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And the promise is, all these things shall be added unto you. So I guess to end our little meeting this week, we have to see how deep the question really goes, and you can do it this way. Are the promises of the Bible true? Now that's how deep the money thing goes. Are the promises of the Bible true? Now, if the promises of the Bible about the money thing are not true, the rest of it's not true. And so that ought to help us settle it. And you know, this is not something, this is not some money-raising effort. This is a faith challenging, a faith growing, a Christian growing thing. And we need to understand that. You have to be saved. If you're here and you're not saved, and you just ignore everything I've said this week, and you realize that you're on your way to hell, and what you really need is to receive Jesus Christ. You don't need to give. You don't have anything to give. You need to receive Jesus Christ tonight as your Lord and Savior. And if you're here as a Christian, and you just dread this week coming up every year because all we're going to talk about is money and giving and renewing and stuff that puts me uncomfortable, you ought to move over a little bit and get right with the book where you can be comfortable. Amen. Sure. It's that simple.
Right.
I'd ask you to bow your head and ask the pastor to come and continue the service now as he feels led.
Let's pray.